Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about God's concern for all, to seek and save the lost. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please draw us close by your Holy Spirit as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words fade away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. This is a truly precious account from the Gospels, particularly as it is a story that many children came to hear when they were in Sunday school. Here we see the concern of God for persons in the community who many felt were undeserving of redemption of any kind. And this could be any class of person, as the story of Zacchaeus indicates. He was a tax collector, an especially despised and hated group in their society. More than that, he was a chief tax collector who, we are told, was wealthy, and so his was an unwelcome presence in the community. Certainly, the Jewish religious community did not appreciate him. He was labeled a sinner because he worked for the unclean Gentiles, collecting taxes imposed by the Roman occupiers. In addition, it is more than likely that Zacchaeus was not entirely upright in his dealings with those from whom he collected tax. The reason for this is that a person appointed by the Romans did not receive any salary for his work. He simply collected as much money as he could, and he kept for himself what was left over after he paid the agreed sum to them. What is curious in all this is that Zacchaeus did not live up to his name, which ironically means righteous one or the just. We are also told in verse 3 that Zacchaeus was a short man, and I had wondered some time ago whether the notion that short people were generally more aggressive, angry, possibly even resentful, having grown up being teased or bullied because of their height, might have played into his career choice and general disposition, which probably included defrauding the local population. But this idea about short people, also known as the Napoleon complex or short man syndrome, has pretty much been debunked. That said, none of this changes the image we are presented with in the first four verses, a spectacle which lacked the appropriate modesty expected of adults, particularly in their culture. Here was Zacchaeus, a wealthy and probably quite influential man, running ahead of the crowd and climbing a sycamore fig tree to get a chance to see Jesus. One could say his behavior was just like a little boy. For this reason, some think that Luke may have been presenting Zacchaeus' behavior as a commentary on Jesus' words in Luke chapter 18, verse 17, that unless people become like little children, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. With that, our story provides us with a number of interesting points to consider. Firstly, God is always the initiator in his dealings with us. God sets the appointment with us, not us with him. God chooses to engage with us, not the other way round. The only reason we have the comment about Zacchaeus's height is to understand why he climbed the sycamore tree, to see who Jesus was. It was simply to gain a vantage point, and so we should not read into his actions a desperation to know Jesus. He was simply motivated by curiosity that day. Nevertheless, the curiosity in Zacchaeus might well have been the beginnings of God's Spirit stirring his heart and steering him in the right direction, which would be true of us all as well, as we reflect on God's dealings with us over time. This position accords with what Jesus told his disciples in John 15, verse 16, where he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That's quite an important thing to remember. The second point of interest is related to the first and is more of a question. Who is the host and who is the guest? There may be in us a soft spot for Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, but we must recognize that he was fiercely resented by his fellow Jews, since he had given himself to collaboration with the Romans, and likely was a fairly nasty and merciless individual, all of this resulting in him being an outcast in his community. Yet, as one commentator says, of all persons in that crowd, the least noticed, the most hindered in coming, because he was short, and yet the one most concerned or desirous to see who Jesus was the chief tax collector. It is always so. It is ever the order of the gospel that the last shall be first. And so verse 5 says that when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." The text does not tell us how Jesus knew his name. It is therefore not unreasonable to believe that Jesus knew his name as a matter of revelation, just as he knew about Nathanael's whereabouts when Philip brought him to meet Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 47 to 49. It says, "When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.'" Thus, that Jesus knows the name of Zacchaeus tells us that God knew him and had seen him. And while Jesus invites himself to stay at his house, the truth is, he is the real inviter. The guest is the true host. For the Father had appointed this moment for Zacchaeus to hear the good news. But this does not sit well with the crowd who voiced their disappointment and anger because Jesus was gone to be the guest of a man that was a sinner. We come to our third point then, and that is this. God knows our true need. How to meet us in our need and draw us to himself. How wonderful for Zacchaeus to discover that someone wants to know him for who he is, not what he is. Certainly, he was very aware that people despised him, and as a Jew, knew that he was far from God and from keeping the covenant he was called to observe. Up to that point, no human opinion of him had moved him in the right direction. We can be sure that between verses 7 and 8, some very significant discussions must have taken place. It is important to note here that Jesus was not on a mission to rectify the injustices of the tax-collecting system in the town. He was, however, on a mission to reach a man who was lost and needed to know that he was found, that God loved him and wanted to save him and restore him. In the end, Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." This was far more than what the law called for. An announcement he probably did publicly also to let the people know that his time with Jesus had changed his life. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." That Jesus spoke in this way to the crowd does not imply that he was not concerned about the Gentiles, but stressed simply that one Jew is no more and no less valuable than any other in God's sight. As we end then, we discover to our great joy that God is no respecter of persons. True salvation brings true repentance, and Zacchaeus understood in this moment of revelation and salvation that God's forgiveness demanded restitution as part of his repentance. From a spiritual perspective, all of us are small in stature, for we are all sinners, constantly coming short of the mark. No one really measures up to or is able to reach God's high standards. The tragedy is that many people think they are big. They measure themselves by human standards, money, position, authority, popularity, things that carry no weight in God's economy. In the end, Zacchaeus trusted Jesus Christ and became a true son of Abraham, meaning, of course, a child of faith. In light of this, we too are called to realize that no matter where we may find ourselves, preferably not up a tree, Jesus knows our name and he knows our hearts, and he wants to meet us in our need as we open our hearts to him. And if we will listen carefully, we will hear the invitation from him calling us to share in his life. And so may God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that our value is not measured by our deeds. Humanity is altogether unable to earn your forgiveness and be worthy of the cross of Christ. As with Zacchaeus, we are truly grateful that in your grace you come to seek and save what was lost. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.